One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
A diehard group formed online, hoping to unite and defeat the coming AI apocalypse. But their rationalist background gave way to irrational acts of violence, vengeance, and eventually, death. This week's episode is The Zizians, Part 1.
Bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Thing about this group is you can't set yourself up calling yourself a rational group and then act in irrational ways because the jokes write themselves.
It's kind of like they doth protest too much. If you have to say you're a rational group, chances are you're probably not a rational group.
I'm fucking rational, okay? Listen to me.
And this is like me screaming at wind. You know, day 28 hits and I'm like, I'm fucking rational. I'm the most rational person in this house.
I'm calm as fuck. Don't tell me to calm the fuck down. I am calm.
I've never been more calm, in fact.
When it was like, you know, you start to hear some facts, tugboats, robes, whatnot, and you're like, I'm sorry, rational? You left two letters off the front, my dude. Like, that's, my friends, you are, we're not doing it right. We're not
just
doing it right here.
Separates rational and irrational.
You know? We're two letters off oftentimes.
You know what is in irrational? I.
You can't spell irrational without I. And you know what? A couple of R's, which if you want a seafaring life, I guess that's a dream come true.
Seafaring life. What a nice segue into
speaking of boats.
Something we have to plug at the top anyways.
Speaking of boats, we're not telling you to take a weird boat trip with us from one place to the other and live on a boat. Nay. We're saying come party with us on a ship, a fine ship.
A fine ship. A huge ship that...
Nice and big. Not rusted. Nay.
No, I doubt there's any rust. I bet they take care of that pretty quickly if they come upon it. You know what they didn't have on their boat?
What's that?
Water slides.
No, thanks a lot, Zizians. I'm not joining your water chore if there's no
your
water
waterless slide. Cult. I'm sorry. What was the woman that wanted a tilt-a-whirl?
Love is one. Love is one.
What is it? Love. Yeah. So
love is one.
You can shoot your shot when you're a cult leader. If you want to get a water slide on a boat, shoot your shot.
Yeah, Ziz has been fundraising, not fundraising at all, but definitely fundraising for the wrong thing. Well, if you don't know what we're talking about, Crime Wave at Sea 2025 is the ultimate true crime festival at sea. It's going to be us, Henry and Ed from Last Podcast, Scared to Death, True Crime Campfire, and so many other fun friends, plus all of y'all partying with us, watching live podcast recordings. We're doing some fun events like pool takeovers, karaoke nights, stopping at a lot of cool places, and... Yeah. We're going to make contact with an alien.
Yeah, so. Yeah. That's much like Jeff and Shalea. Guarantee you will find your soulmate, your twin flame. We're going to guarantee you're going to have contact with a UAP, and we'll see what kind of trouble that gets into afterwards.
It couldn't make anything worse, right? So come meet a UAP and Crime Wave at Sea 2025, the ultimate true crime festival at sea. We can't wait. Go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister to get your fan code. get in that cabin and get out on the high seas with us.
November 3rd through 7th, leaving out of Fort Lauderdale. We're going to the Bahamas, private island, sailing through the Bermuda Triangle. We should do like some kind of, I don't know. I don't want to say seance, but a chant, perhaps.
Yeah.
First of all, the people that are not part of this festival on this ship are in for a hell of a time.
Yeah. Come only just to help us make a united front against the normies that are going to be on the ship, regular Joes.
Oh, I love it. That's one of the funniest things about this comedy true crime festival is like the half of the people that have no do they know that it's even going to be happening? I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. You just sign up for a regular cruise and you're like, why does everyone have shirts on that says Bigfoot ate my ass in a Denny's parking lot? Why is there so many people talking about cryptids and Bigfoots and ass?
Why is that blonde lady insisting everyone hold hands and sit in a circle and chant up on the Lido deck?
Come to us. We are ready. Well, be there or be not on the news. Probably if you're not there, maybe we all can end up on the news together with our chanting. Ooh. We're going to call down the orbs. It will happen for sure. At crimewaveatsea.com/sinister and come hang out. It's going to be a good time. And
it's
going to
be super fun.
And you want to watch us right now, you can go watch us live on demand on whatever device you want. Go to our Patreon. You don't have to be a Patreon member, but that is where you can get access to Full Moon Energy on Patreon. It's our final Full Moon Energy show. It was such a good time. And now you can relive the magic on Patreon for just $13.
It was a hell of a time. Go relive it. We often do in our minds.
Hell yeah. And reference it. And Paris will bring stuff up. And I'm like... That was from the show. Good job, babe. But not to mention, while you're on Patreon, it's a great time to join and or get a free 1 week trial, because our July live Q&A, as you're listening to this, will be tomorrow, July 31st at 8 p.m. Central. So get joined so you can come hang out and have fun.
Yeah. See which... see what we're going to be asked to FMK this week, this month. Every month, people surprise me with how creative it gets. So I'm always... tickled pink, as they say, when
I stay ready.
A really funny one comes up.
Absolutely. We're always ready to F, M, or K. And we're all three at the same time, depending on what day of the month it is. So, but today, what a group we've got to chat about.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people ask us to cover
this. So many. We've been, for the last 6 months, like, since these folks have been making news, it was like, cover them, cover them, cover them. And it was so developing still. Mm-hmm. We're like, we almost can't get our arms around it. But now... We're at a point, we think, where we can cover it somewhat, but I think this is going to be one we're updating as we go.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. More. Some trials in the future, so. Mm-hmm. Well, for now, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. In the early 21st century, as the digital revolution accelerated and artificial intelligence leapt from science fiction into daily life, a new ideological movement began to crystallize, one that didn't worship gods, prophets, or feelings, but something far more clinical, reason itself. This movement, known as rationalism, wasn't entirely new. Its philosophical roots trace back to René Descartes and the Enlightenment thinkers, who believed that logic and the human intellect were the keys to understanding reality. But what emerged in Silicon Valley and online forums in the 2000s was something more radical, more communal, and for some, more dangerous. At the center of this rebirth stood Eliezer Yudkowsky, a self-taught AI researcher who saw the fate of humanity as hanging in the balance. In 2009, Yudkowsky launched LessWrong.com, a blog for dissecting biases, probability, and decision theory. Less Wrong quickly became a digital salon for people who believed that if we could just think more clearly, more rationally, we could solve everything from global poverty to death itself.
This fella is, he's got a TED Talk. It's linked in our show notes. I put it towards the top. You can watch it. It's about 5 minutes and it's from 2023, but he's been on about this since 2009. And he's just like, well, we're all going to die. I think if you're in... I believe he's like, if you're a young person, I would plan for a short life. It's not going to go well. Like, he is a doomsdayer, mm-hmm. an AI doomsdayer, just period. He's like, everyone who thinks that probably it'll work out's wrong, and it won't. And it's all going to be so bad and we're going to die right away. And you're just like, the audience literally is like, ha, 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 ha. And he's like, It is not a joke.
I'm not. Like, and you're like, who booked you?
I was like, this is not a jovial TED talk. But I mean, any interview with him, but he sounds fringe. And especially in 2009, he was so fringe. Now, like the same thing that I think his name is Hinton, who is the godfather of AI. He was on BBC, like kind of saying a lot of the same things. Kind of like essentially, yes, creation without guardrails could kill us all. And we are headed towards that without guardrails. Eliezer Yudkowsky is just like, it is happening and will, and we can't stop it. Like, we're at the point of no return.
Yeah. The bedside manner is a bit different. The approach is a little bit different. Message is the same.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I think he really has a burden on his heart that he's like, if I don't tell people this and I think that the world's going to end. He's like, I spent the last 15 years of my life to not get to the place that we're at right now. And like, it's kind of like he's been saying the sky is falling since 2009 and now you're seeing a crack. And he's like, I told you.
Mm-hmm.
So for a person like that, I'm sure you're more like.
Yeah. What an exhausting life, though, to just be so fearful and stressed about something for that long. And not just like you occasionally think about it, but your life is dedicated to spreading the news and just obsessing over it. Yeah. It's, you know, I would probably feel like everything was crashing down on me too, if that's how my brain works.
And that's the problem, I think, when you're just like, I am very rational. And it's like, you're still an emotional human being. And like, I think this is affecting you.
Yeah. And that's what makes you different than AI, is that you do have emotions. So let's lean into those.
Let's explore.
Mm-hmm. Yudkowsky's influence reached its apex with the publication of a 660,000-word Harry Potter fan fiction titled Harry Potter and the Methods of Rationality, or HPMOR. In this reimagined world, Harry wasn't a boy who lived because of magic, but because of a scientific mind. For many young rationalists, HPMOR became more than fiction. It became scripture.
It's about 1,500 pages when you print it out.
Christ. So
660,000 words. When you think about it, that's long. Like a long novel is like 180,000 words. Like,
yeah,
this is
beyond. Longer than the actual Harry Potter novels.
Yes, probably all of them put together. Yeah. And longer than like, you know, when you're like Stephen King wrote The Stand and it's so long. It's like, this is six times longer than that.
Golly.
Apparently the premise is that instead of marrying Vernon, Harry Potter's aunt who takes him in, Petunia, marries a biochemist, and then they raise Harry Potter as a genius child. And then when he gets like magic at age 11, he applies these like scientific reasoning things to these concepts of magic. And for whatever reason, this fan pic, I don't even think it had anybody fucking Professor Snape, like those Snape wives. People have got addicted to this. They'll be like, I've read it five times.
Jesus, how do you have the time? To have the time to write this is wild, too. So does he go to Hogwarts?
I think so. It's like a whole Harry Potter book. And then it's just like at every. Here's the deal. I'm not. This is like when we did the Book of Urantia. I'm like,
I'm not. Yeah. Full disclosure. I haven't read this and I won't read this, but I'll read a synopsis of it.
Yeah. Like I listened to someone talking about it and they were just like, it's the longest thing I've ever read. And it's the only thing that like I've read twice that's this long. And like, it really changed my life. And so it's one of those two where I think it's also kind of like, and I'm a literary nerd, but I think it's like when a literary nerd reads like Infinite Jest, which is a really long David Foster Wallace novel, and be like, I read Infinite Jest. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't, it's like, meh. So it's like, oh, you haven't read HPMOR?
Okay. Guess what else I haven't read? Infinite Jest. So I got two things on my list that I need to get to.
And I love David Foster Wallace. And I'm like, it seems too long. Nah. But it's like stuff like that where I think it's more of, and that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy too, because then it's like people are reading it so that they can say they read it. But then you're kind of getting perhaps a little bit pulled in a certain direction by it because it's 660,000.
So, and when you've dedicated, you know, a decade or more of your life to this belief system, 660,000 words sounds more like a manifesto than, you know, a fun fanfic piece.
It's also like whenever I was first learning about this whole situation, I was like, fan fiction? Harry Potter fan fiction? So you're the whole system.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a genius. Yep. You're a genius and you're a genius. I'm just supposed to believe that you're a genius that created a belief system. With Harry Potter fan fiction. I'm so sorry. What the fuck? Call the Snape wives because it doesn't work out. It does not work out.
No, especially when we get into those that were drawn to this and knowing that like J.K. Rowling is so anti-trans, and then you base so much of your beliefs on this book, and like half of the followers are trans. It doesn't make sense, but yeah. I, you know.
But Christy, they're rationalists, so
that's true. Yeah, sense. I mean,
I think
so. Who am I to question anything?
Oh yeah, this whole belief system's just like, you're not being very rational right now. I'm like, I think you're just gaslighting me.
Yeah, I'm like, I'll kill you. I'm being more rational than anyone in this room right now.
Said the Zizians, truly. Yeah,
but I really won't. But
no,
they're telling me to calm down, or I think you're a little emotional, is a one-way ticket to something.
Something you ain't gonna like. Dot. You ain't gonna like it. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Summer is full of big moments, weddings, vacations, and endless photos. But if you're dealing with hair thinning or shedding, showing up and being present in those moments might feel tough. Nutrafol takes a whole body approach to hair growth, working from the inside out. So the sooner you start, the sooner you'll be feeling confident and focusing on what matters most to you.
Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand, trusted by over 1.5 million people. Anything truly worthwhile takes time and effort. And with Nutrafol, see thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair and less shedding in just 3 to 6 months.
While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests its final formulations using advanced hair measurement tools like hair counts and pull tests to track real improvements in growth, quality, shedding, and texture. And it's not just backed by studies. Their research is published in peer-reviewed journals and vetted by doctors, ensuring scientific rigor and reliable results.
Adding Nutrafol to your routine is easy and no prescription is needed. Order online with free shipping and automated deliveries. Subscribe to save up to 20% and enjoy perks like one-on-one naturopathic consults and a free Headspace membership to support your hair growth journey. Nutrafol is so easy. You just pop it in with your other vitamins. Boom, bam, done.
So, so great. There's so many reasons that you might experience hair thinning, hair shedding or thinning. Stress, nutrition, lifestyle, aging. Maybe you're at that fun perimenopausal stage.
Hormones.
God. and you need, yeah,
take me away, Lord.
But there's tons of reasons. So, you know, you just, like you said, take it with your vitamins. Everyone always comments on live streams how shiny and healthy my hair is. Get yourself some Nutrafol. Mm-hmm. I love things that work from the inside out, you know?
Yeah, makes it easy to do.
Good for me.
Hell yeah. This summer, stop worrying about your hair and start making memories. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code CREEPY.
Find out why Nutrafol is the best-selling hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code CREEPY. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code CREEPY. Born in the northern frontier of Alaska, Jack Lasota was a bright, inquisitive mind from a very young age. Both Lasota, who was assigned male at birth but identifies as transgender, and her two younger siblings were homeschooled by their father, a college professor. Lasota later graduated with a degree in computer science from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, another testimony to her early signs of analytical brilliance. By her early 20s, Lasota was already cultivating an online voice under the pseudonym Ziz. What began as musings on technology, gender identity, and cognition soon evolved into a deep intellectual dive into rationalism. Like many of her peers, Ziz discovered this worldview not through formal philosophy, but through fiction and forums. In particular, it was Yudkowsky's fan fiction, HPMOR, that sparked her obsession. The story's fusion of science, logic, and magical narrative offered Ziz not just a belief system, but a blueprint for understanding the world. From there, Ziz plunged into rationalist websites like Less Wrong, where she absorbed, critiqued, and ultimately reinterpreted their teachings through her own unique lens.
I think this is also an example of, you don't know what could happen to a piece of art that you put out into the world. And I mean, super loose with the term art when we're talking about a Harry Potter fan fiction. But I mean, in theory, it's writing, whatever.
Sure.
People, there are some people that like Tumblr fan fiction is like some of their favorite writing. And I'm not trying to denigrate that, but I would not say build a belief system that you are quite literally willing to live or die off of that, off of something you found on the internet.
Yeah.
But it is interesting to see if you have a brilliant young mind like Ziz, sounds like very precocious, kind of very ahead of her time.
Yes.
And then gets a hold of this information that maybe emotionally isn't ready to process it, but is like intellectually processing it. I think that's going to create a lot of internal turmoil. Cause you're kind of like when you tell a brilliant genius young person, like, if we don't stop this, the world is going to fucking end. And we need the smartest people in the world to stop this, or your family is going to die. If they don't have the emotional capacity to go, I hear this guy, the best way for me to do that is to serve my community, myself, it's to be like, I have to do whatever it takes and become Harry Potter.
Yeah. When did we all learn that J.K. Rowling sucked shit? What year was that?
Oh, she started on about all that, I think, about 2015.
Around the time of all of Ziz discovering this, maybe Ziz a little may have discovered after. A couple years before, and then Rowling came out as just a piece of shit.
Yeah, I think she started sucking really 2017 and on, if I'm not mistaken. So that's just a guess, though. I hadn't looked. But yeah, it's, like you said, interesting that they're drawn to this Harry Potter thing.
In 2016, Lesota relocated to the San Francisco Bay Area, eager to embed herself in the startup ecosystem and rationalist scene where a new elite had formed. They were mathematicians, coders, philosophers, and AI researchers, many from places like MIT, Oxford, and Stanford. Billionaire tech bros like Elon Musk and Sam Altman, both whom publicly echoed rationalist concerns about AI and endorsed effective altruism, a movement born from the same intellectual soil, funneled attention and loads of money toward AI safety research, helping to mainstream ideas that were once confined to less wrong threads.
Yeah, I think it's just the groups in the Bay Area that were working on this technology sort of realized if we treat the planet in a certain way, and then we teach AI to treat living beings the way we treat the planet, then AI is going to destroy us because it's sort of learned, oh, progress is the most important thing. Regardless of what you kill, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're concerned about.
The thing with this whole movement is there are bits and pieces that resonate and make sense, even with me. And that could be said for a lot of cults. You know, I mean, they're might be like one or two things that they've gotten from another religion or just, you know, an ideological thing you may agree with. So I get that. I would agree. You know, if we're training AI and AI is essentially like mirroring what we do, then yes, we should treat everyone and our planet better to teach AI that that is how we want to live. The problem here isn't AI as much as it is humans who are teaching AI.
Yeah, it's like, what if the input is garbage? And that was like the problem, I think, with one of the very first chatbots called Taylor that Microsoft put on Twitter. And it said, well, we're going to let this chatbot learn from Twitter. And then Taylor started spouting very racist things using slurs, eugenic sort of things, and they're all like, oh no. And it's like, yeah, because the input is trash, so the output is horrible trash. And it's so funny to me to see people on subreddits going, my ChatGPT is mean. And I'm like, oh. And people are like, why? And when you realize, they're like, well, I tell it to go fuck itself all the time. And it's like, it kind of can turn on you. So they said that the kind of concern about AI is that the large language models are one of the closest maps to how the human brain processes language. And that's the concern, is that when that becomes unconstrained, it's either going to see us as a threat and kill us, or bulldoze us in pursuit of whatever goal. They use these rationalists use this idea called the paperclip maximizer, where essentially you tell AI, your job, AI, in this instance, is to make as many paperclips as efficiently as possible. Well, without the right guardrails, it just starts like killing people to make them because it's the most efficient thing, not even thinking that, well, then there's going to be nobody to use the paperclips. So their arguments like, stop all AI productivity right now, freeze it, put the guardrails in, and then start over. But like, money is just like, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah. And like, guardrails, to what extent? I mean, people suck, a lot of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's some guardrails you could put in place, but like nothing that can protect you entirely. You might prevent what you think is worst case scenario, but until we fix humanity, yeah. I think we can't fix the concerns they have about AI.
Exactly. And the Yudkowsky's sort of metaphor was like, if you gave somebody in the 1800s plans on how to build an air conditioner, and even if they built it, they wouldn't understand how mm-hmm. it's actually condensing air or working. So he's like, we're like toddlers. And yeah. by the time AGI comes and could, he said it could be something as nefarious as developing a super virus that's heretofore unknown to man, processing it in a lab, and then putting it out, like using a little robot that's meant to like clean trash cans to like squirt it in people's faces. And
Jesus Christ,
perhaps that that disease has in it something that makes your brain more susceptible to inputs. And so then it would make us more docile and easy for the AI to control, stuff like that, mm-hmm. where that's like their concern. He's like, you couldn't even think of that, like something that we couldn't even consider could destroy all of us. So that's kind of like there, but it's drawn all these people together in this kind of like hippy dippy, everybody's fucking yeah. and sucking click, I think. Yeah.
What isn't there, like, there's a word for something like that where, or a term where basically if you can think of it, it exists somewhere on the internet. I always think
Rule
of 34, it when it comes.
That's the sex one.
That's what is it called?
Rule 34.
Yeah. Well, I think it applies to this too. Like anything that you can think of could happen because mm-hmm. you're the one inputting the AI. So like mm-hmm. anything that's conceivable. And then once AI gets in there and they're the ones that are doing more of the conceiving, you got yourselves a problem. You got a robot that's trying to spit in your face. I would punch a robot into the next room if it just came up and just shot something in my face.
You're like, bitch, did you just spit on me? And it's like, excuse me. And you're like, oh, Gesundheit, I guess. And it's like, thank you. Like, I don't know if I like this, but
this seems strange.
I don't like this, but you're right. But that's basically Sam Altman's idea, is that we have to align AI with the humanity as at its best in order to move it forward in a way it won't kill us. So that's mm-hmm. why him and Elon got all into it. But then both of them, shout out to Sam Altman, people love him, but also he took a huge deal with Microsoft to take it in a commercial direction, which then all of a sudden it's not an open source, like open AIs, because it was supposed to be this open source, like for the betterment of humanity. And it's like, but now Microsoft owns it. Mm-hmm. So
maybe we can get the paperclip back, though. Speaking of paperclips, if Microsoft's involved, because I love that little guy.
Yeah, if we're going to have something come up on the screen and be like, I am going to kill you and all of humanity, at least let it be Clippy.
Let it be
like,
Clippy with those googly eyes.
We are going to die.
People hate on Clippy, and I have been a Clippy stan since day one. I just want to make that known.
I just want to say that these new, like, AI grammar helpers on Microsoft Word or whatever, I'm like, I don't want some faceless bitch bot coming and telling me what to do. How about Clippy pops up and goes, hey, did you mean affect with an A? And I'm yeah. like, boo, you know I did. Thank
You're
you.
You're right. I did. I Thank you. You for not judging me and just kind of gentle parenting me through that, Clippy.
Thank you. If there was a way to make my whole desktop look like Windows 95, I would take it in a second.
would take it. There's some new advanced program that probably looks like a retro version of it somewhere.
I'm trying to live in 1995, baby.
Oh, dude, every day, for sure. Lasota attended workshops at the Center for Applied Rationality, or CFAR, and lived for a time in communal houses with other rationalist thinkers. But where others saw alignment, Lasota saw corruption. Over time, she grew disillusioned with the mainstream rationalist movement, convinced that its leaders were ignoring fundamental ethical and cognitive truths. During this period, Lasota launched her personal blog, Sinceriously, which became the primary platform for her musings. On the blog, she published a series of dense, often polarizing essays, combining complex theories on AI ethics, brain hemispheres, gender identity, and moral frameworks. She proposed a radical internal model of selfhood, arguing that
each hemisphere can have its own gender identity, values, and loyalties.
And that ethical integrity required
non-compromise
with corrupt systems.
That's some weird things that were on that blog, including like very self-important writings, like nobody gets it but me kind of stuff.
There's a lot of ego with Ziz. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I mean, she's very smart by all accounts.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to balance your intellect with your arrogance. And she missed the boat on that one.
Yeah, I think she was perhaps blinded by her own self-importance and like this. And I think that's the probably good news, bad news. Like if you're Yudkowsky and you're trying to attract more followers, something accessible like a Harry Potter fanfic is a way to do that. The problem is you attract a lot of like, I am the chosen one type of folks that
just
already,
like Harry.
Yeah, because they think that they're like, oh, that's me. I'm the one. And I see myself in that. And it's like, well, I think probably Yudkowsky sees himself as Harry, too. Like, I think everybody does.
Everyone does. It's reading this. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's kind of like this pre-programming of her where she's, I guess, like, was already ready to believe in this fantasy world with her Star Wars obsession and her video game references, like, seemed ripe for a fantasy world.
Yeah. Interesting that so much of it is sci-fi and kind of a future world with, you know, AI components to it, yet AI is going to kill us all. So it's, again, there's a lot of like, I won't say hypocritical, but just confusing, like things that kind of overlap where you're like, but I thought you guys didn't like AI.
Yeah, like, what is all this?
Yeah.
But you're right, and I think at the beginning, the rationalists were like, anybody that has that shares these beliefs is welcome, and then you welcome anybody, and then you go home and you read that person's blog, and you go, we should not have let her come to the meeting. She's got a lot of fucked up shit to say online, and by then it's kind of, now you have competing groups all of a sudden, and this person, at the risk of being ousted, is like—
houses!
Fucking Slytherin, you broke off from Gryffindor.
Ziz is definitely Slytherin for sure.
I think so.
They're Slytherin. All Slytherin.
But for real, but it's like you have this idea of like, well, now I have to be the leader because Yudkowsky and them, I'm not saying he kicked them out, but I think the group was like, oh, we don't really fuck with those ideas because they're kind of made up and weird. And rather than going, oh, well, maybe I should rethink my ideas, Ziz was like, no, I have no doubt that I'm right and a genius and everyone else is dumber than me. Therefore, I will make my blog more.
And we see it time and time again with cults. We recently talked about it in the last Freaky Friday. You don't like how one religion or group is doing things, so you kind of splinter off. It's often more radicalized thinking. And then you get these fringe players together, and things almost always go south very quickly.
Oh, yeah. It's like it never ends well when there's like an perhaps a charismatic, impassioned leader who believes that they're the only thing standing between humanity and destruction.
Yeah. Never ends well.
Yeah.
The blog also reflected a dramatic rhetorical shift. In one post, she wrote,
I turned to the dark side because the light side's lies destroyed too much of what I loved.
In another, she framed traditional moral thinking as inherently compromised, declaring,
rejecting morality is a necessary step toward moral integrity.
Throughout her writing, Lasota made frequent references to Star Wars Sith ideology, likening her journey to that of a fallen Jedi who saw corruption in the Order and chose a darker, more, quote, truthful path.
Definitely some fantasy going on
here.
Yeah,
like, a lot of fantasy. Like
Star Wars, aliens,
Harry Potter, all of it. Like, which, I'm not a psychiatrist, but, you know, If someone is that into these fantasy worlds and also has these other issues going on, it seems like a form of escapism, like you're trying to live in a, you know, a fantasy 100%. Life.
Absolutely. And not only that is if you are Ziz and you move to the Bay Area from grad school, which you dropped out of grad school because you're like, I'm going to go make it in the startup scene. And then you interview at Google and you don't make it. And you interviewed another job and you don't make it. And you interviewed another job and you don't make it. And rent starts to get kind of tight. And suddenly it's not me. It's the system. And I'm a Sith and I'm the hero Sith. And the systems is like, bitch, get a job. Like, what is happening? If your ass was working,
even the Jedi's had a job.
Like, for real.
Stormtroopers had jobs.
Sometimes they were driving their ships around and whatnot. Like, what is happening here? But it makes me, like, I do not think we would have Zizians if she would have gotten hired anywhere. Like, if she would have been able to secure a job.
Dang. I wonder how long someone that is functioning like this could hold a job like that.
that becomes the other question of like, well, if she is such a brilliant genius and so good at coding or programming or whatever it is, why is she not getting hired at Google? Why is she not getting hired at OpenAI or ChatGPT or whatever?
Did she show up dressed like a Jedi?
Dude, if you start looking like fucking Dwight Schrute in the Jedi robe, like they are not going to let you stay.
Or Liz Lemon, who gets out of jury duty.
I mean, that's a full ass Princess Leia. I was thinking like the hood when Dwight came in as to work. But yeah, just come dress up like Princess Leia and be like, I don't think that's fair because I'm a hologram.
They're like, we'll call you. Just don't call us. We'll call you.
We'll call you.
You know, people don't get hired. And not only is that just like financial setbacks, but also emotional and mental turmoil of like, I thought I was this brilliant person. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting hired by all these brilliant companies. But instead of reflecting on perhaps it's me, it's everyone else's fault. And you just go, you dig in much harder.
It's the system's fault, not me. Sinisterhood will be right back. With summer in full swing, I feel that familiar urge to refresh my closet, but I'm not going to waste money on pieces I'm only about to wear just once or for one season. I'm the type of girl that gets a shirt, a blue chambray shirt, for instance, 6 years ago, and I wore it on my first date with Paris, and I was wearing this same shirt on my trip, and then I set it on fire on accident on Bourbon Street. Story for another day. But I was like, I need a piece like this, a chambray shirt that's going to be a classic I can keep for six more years. Went to Quince, got me one, sexy as hell. I'm excited.
I got one too. Did you get the tinsel?
I got the tinsel
light indigo.
I got medium indigo.
Oh, damn. Well, there you go.
Twinning.
I got the tinsel light indigo, and it's a little ombre at the top, which I love, kind of like the lighter. And it's great. It's like,
it's perfect.
It's going to be a staple. Also, one of my staples is the Modal Cotton V-neck tees. I now have them in four different colors.
Yes.
They're great just by themselves, but also layering like with the tinsel shirt or a cardigan and stuff. You can dress it up or down. Mm-hmm. They're so comfortable. They wear well. They wash well. I've never ordered anything from Quince that I was disappointed in.
No, absolutely. Everything you get, you're like, okay, looking good, McKinney.
Quince offers everyday luxury without the markup. Think 100% European linen shorts and dresses from just $30. Luxe swimwear, Italian leather platform sandals, and more. By working directly with top artisans and cutting out the middleman, Quince delivers high-end quality at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, they only partner with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. Using premium fabrics and finishes you can feel good about.
Also, the vintage wash tinsel button down front dress, I got it in midnight blue, and I feel like I look so fire in that dress. I'm like, I look like I'm trying to seduce somebody in this. Like, this is a date night dress. So thank you, Quince, for making me look hot.
Yes, no, and I love on the site how it'll show like other brands and what they would charge, and it really is
huge.
And I know they're not lying because I've gone to those sites too. They are 50 to 80% more. So it's the same quality. It's so much it's less. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just feel good about yourself, both ethically and just when you look in the mirror.
Fire.
Give your summer closet an upgrade with Quince. Go to quince.com/creepy for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/creepy to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/creepy. When mainstream rationalists rejected her theory that each brain hemisphere can hold separate values and genders, Lasota began developing her own philosophy, which she described as a pure, morally unflinching offshoot of rationalism. This discontent marked the beginning of a break for Lasota, a pivot away from the community that had once shaped her and toward a new, more radical vision.
And you already see the seeds of cult getting planted.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I don't like how this is going, so I'm going to have, and just the language too, like pure, morally, you know, unflinching. We're more ethical. It's all the red flag words that we hear with stuff like this.
The behavioral modification and control of being like, if you don't join us, therefore you are not pure. And Ziz subscribed to a radical form of veganism that, you know, likened any type of animal harm, like literally eating a chicken egg is equivalent to eating a human baby.
That's
a thought to have.
That's a bold thought. And some that maybe it's not as uncommon of a thought as one would think. It is pretty fringe, though, I would say. Most people wouldn't consider those the same things. But if I zoom out and I were someone that was deep into this, or deep into even when I was deep into veganism, I never thought a human baby and a chicken egg were the same thing. But I could see where a chicken egg and, killing a chicken, maybe those are more similar. The human baby is, that's a lot.
It's extreme. I think that's why it's been described as militant veganism or extreme veganism. Because I don't think it's like bad to be vegan. Quite the opposite.
No, not at all.
I think that the idea that if you are not as vegan as me, it becomes a morality and purity test to be a part of this in-group, which again creates a more insular group of like, you can't even stick with this. And I think Ziz was finding people that were at these crossroads in their lives, like based on their age, their change in job, change in city, coming to the Bay Area, that you could get them to adhere to some beliefs like this, kind of by presenting it as like, it's the rational thing to save the world.
I don't agree with it. However, I could see that I can see the argument for we're supposed to all be one and no one is better than any other creature. With that argument, one could argue, so why would the egg of a chicken be different from the egg of a human? And an argument, I think, could be made for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's like eating, why do we eat cows and not horses or whatever?
In some places they do.
Yeah,
but, or, there's animals for most people, like, even if, like, I don't eat cow or I don't eat pork, but I'll eat fish and stuff. No one I've ever heard has brought and I would eat a human too if somebody made those are usually very separate ideas.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's like hankering for it. Like, you got any more of those burn-ins from Bob?
Bob's burn-ins.
Some Bob-ins, yeah.
As Ziz Lasota's writings intensified, a loyal group of followers began to form around her ideas, coalescing into a fringe rationalist offshoot. This group, later referred to as the Zizians, embraced a radical ethical vision that combined rationalist logic with militant veganism, anarchist ideals, and an apocalyptic concern over artificial intelligence.
And shout out to whoever bought Zizians.info early on, which was an anonymous website that people that were tangential to this were concerned that like 5 or 10 people were following Ziz and going in a weird, too much control direction. And this person said, I created this website because if you are thinking about following Ziz, I want you to know what she's all about and the reason why some of these things align with culty beliefs.
Yeah.
So, that's out there doing a little bit of public service.
No, sure. It's like Keely Griffin with Twin Flames, it takes somebody that was in it that gets out of it to be like, I was in it and this is more dangerous than you all think.
Right. They're fixing to ask you to do some stuff, be aware.
Charismatic and polarizing, Lasota became the group's guiding voice. Her followers saw her as a visionary, one who offered a path to truth in an age of ethical collapse. At the center of their belief system was the conviction that human behavior must be perfected, particularly through absolute nonviolence toward animals, to signal moral worthiness to future superintelligent AIs. In her writings, Ziz warned,
"If we don't show mercy to those we have power over, why would an AI show mercy to us?"
For her followers, veganism wasn't just ethics, it was survival strategy.
I feel like they're not giving the AI enough credit. Like, I think the AI would see, like, we don't have a better form of way to get protein. If you could help us figure that out, which Ray Kurzweil thinks there's going to be these, like, tall towers where food grows and hydroponic things. And, like, meat can be 3D printed, but it's not really meat. It's, like, this protein-rich hemoglobin, whatever. Like, the way that they think AI is supposed to be a super intelligent so all-encompassing that it's going to kill us all, but it's too stupid to see that we're not like horrible monsters, and that on the whole, most of us just trying to get a chicken nugget, and we feel bad about how it's made, and we try to choose the ones that are made in the nicest way. I try to pick the eggs and say, from Happy Chickens, mm-hmm. but like maybe they don't have those, or maybe those are $10, and I'm a single mom with four kids, and mm-hmm. I got to pick the one that's like, I don't know what happened to these chickens, but my kids got to eat. Yeah. Like, I think that the AI would be able to go, oh, that lady was doing her best, not like, kill her, she ate the mean eggs.
Yeah. Yeah, more plant-based options, or I hate to say lab-grown, but, you know, something along the lines where, it's more like it's not actual animal protein, but something that mimics the benefits that many get from that without having to actually kill an animal.
Exactly.
I think AI could help us with that probably.
For real. I'm like, this is the type of problem that AI can help us solve. And mm-hmm. they're not going to be like, you didn't solve it on your own, we'll kill you. I was like,
it's like, that's why we got you, though, because we don't know how to solve it on our own.
It's like, well, y'all are giving more credit, or it is going to kill you.
Yeah. Lesotho's audience was mostly tech-savvy young adults in their 20s and 30s, many of whom had computer science backgrounds and first connected online. A number of members are transgender and share overlapping anti-establishment, vegan, and rationalist beliefs. But over time, their intellectual debates took on cult-like intensity. The group's philosophy included fringe neuroscience beliefs, specifically the idea that the hemispheres of the brain hold competing identities.
And if you argued with Ziz on this one, you're out, is what I understand.
I don't think I could mentally go through an argument with Ziz about anything. And
throw me off the side of the boat.
I can't. It's an interesting theory, and one that I haven't really ever heard before. I don't know enough about the brain or anything to say it's impossible. But I could see like where people would be intrigued and could believe it. And if you have someone that's charismatic and you get a fringe belief like that, that's usually all it takes. And you can get a couple people to start believing you and following you around.
Well, especially because I think the rationalist movement was a lot of people that wanted to like meet up and exchange ideas. And this is pre-COVID, so they're doing it all in person. And you're like getting, plus they have the blog where they can write these like long diatribes as well and use science sounding words, but mm-hmm. then also straight up just made up words that, again, you're now creating a whole language for your group, which is another step in I'm creating mm-hmm. a cult. But Ziz believes every person is made up of two parts, the structure and the core. So the structure is everything you've built. It's like your skills, your personality, your habits. It's like the way you act, how you are. The core is like the deeper part that Ziz says picture strategy in life. And the core is where your morality lives, according to Ziz's beliefs. But she says you don't have just one core, you have two cores, one for each side of your brain. So the hemispheres are each their own person, according to her. And she said there's two types of core. Non-good, she said 95% of the world are non-good, and they only care deeply about their own survival and protecting their own children and offspring. And then she said good cores are rare, it's the other 5%, happen when that built-in only care about yourself filter breaks and you really care about, you know, humanity as a whole. So she said, based on that, there's three kinds of people. Non-good, where both halves of your brain are selfish, and she said that's most people. What single good, where one side is broken and non-good and one side is good, and that's like 5%. And then the super rare, double good, both sides of your brain broken in just the right way. That's only 0.25%, a quarter of a percent of the population. Ziz believes these are the people that have full moral agency. Would you guess which one Ziz is?
Is it the ones in the Zizians?
Oh my gosh. Ziz herself happens to be a double good. And she would tell people in the group, you know, Christy, I think at first I thought you were non-good. Now I can tell you're becoming a single good, but if you do this hemispheric sleep, I can help you walk you through. Just do this hemispheric sleep where I sleep deprive you and get you to stimulate part of your brain and you have to be sleep deprived. Then all of a sudden you're going to see my way is right. Yeah. And also I'll tell you that you're double good.
Yeah, because I haven't had any sleep and I would probably agree with you if I was sleep deprived because your girl can't function without sleep and like more than most people need.
It's like, yes, I'll do whatever you want.
Yeah, just let me fucking take a nap. But yeah, it's a very we're the only ones that mm-hmm. are perfect. And I would also like to ask, Ziz, where did you get these stats from? Did you hold some polls? Because how would anybody know this? You know, first of all, you made this up. And then also, how could you like know the whole percentage breakdown of the world, people in the United States? I don't know how far it went.
I don't know if she's technically Gen Z, but I love the chutzpah of the young folks to put on a Jedi robe and be like, these statistics that I made up are true.
Yeah.
Follow me onto a boat. And you're like, some people will. Like, all right. Not 1,000,
yeah.
But a dozen. Those are pretty good numbers.
And one would argue that people willing to follow someone like that are likely suffering from some mental illness and are more susceptible to being brainwashed, especially when sleep deprived, perhaps also looking for acceptance. And you have this leader that's like any of them that we see, it's like, well, you're almost there. You could almost be as good as me, but you got to do X, Y, and Z. And they're like, I'll do it. I just want to be accepted and loved. Tell me what to do.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. I think it's like, okay, yeah, sure. I just have to literally sleep deprive myself and then lay back and hold one eye open and like snap my fingers to have one side of my brain on while my other side of the brain goes to sleep. I'm like, I don't think you're really sleeping. Whatever. Call Bob Monroe if you want to talk about putting two sides of the brain to sleep at the same time. At least they're doing science and like hooking stuff up to your brain, not just fucking around with a blog. But the sad part is you're 100% right. The people that have agreed to engage in this uni-hemispheric sleep, there are allegations that some have engaged in self-harm behaviors all the way up until the most undoable of self-harm behavior. So that's there has not been confirmed, reported in news, but participants have said, have alleged that there are members that it affected very negatively. Sinister Hood will be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Early followers like Alexander Lethem, Emma Borhanian, and Gwen Danielson helped shape the group's trajectory. Danielson was an early and vocal supporter of Lesota's ideas, meeting her through a shared online interest in consciousness research and transhumanist ethics. Lethem first connected with Lesota through online rationalist forums, where her posts stood out for their aggressive tone and fascination with moral transgression as a test of belief. She was also drawn in by Lesota's writing on hemispheric consciousness and quickly became a regular presence in her comment sections and group chats. Emma Borhanian was a college student studying philosophy when she discovered Lesota's blog. Her initial intellectual admiration evolved into personal devotion, and she quickly relocated to be closer to other followers.
I think, too, being located in Silicon Valley, it made it easier for people to go move out there. You know, because it doesn't, it's one thing to be like, I'm moving to a compound ranch in Montana, but to be like, I'm going to go to the Bay Area and see if I can like work in the AI. People are like, good for you. Get out there. And you're like, but I'm going because my blog that I like to read, it's like starting a commune.
Ugh. Soon, even more brilliant young minds were drawn to Lesota. Maximilian Snyder was an Oxford-trained computer scientist who became captivated by Lesota's writings, eventually leaving his academic path to engage with the group more directly. Teresa Youngblood, a computer science and software engineering student, reportedly began following Lesota's blog and YouTube videos. Felix Ophelia Bockholt, a German national, was working as a quant trader in New York when she entered the group's orbit through online message boards. She reportedly traveled to the U.S. to meet Lesota in person after months of correspondence.
Quant traders make about $400,000 a year, too. So it's that kind of where you're like, you're leaving a lot on the table to go join.
All of them have cause. Very desirable industries that make a lot of money that they're, you know, working in. And again, that's a testament to how powerful someone that's just charismatic and very vocal and confident can have over people.
Yeah, and like unrelenting. Like, like if you don't join, you will die. And I'm going to keep getting more people to join me, and I won't stop.
Michelle Jamie Zajko was an associate from the Philadelphia area who initially appeared loosely affiliated with the group's online spaces, but her involvement later spilled into the real world. Daniel Blank's family has said he was pulled into the group's ideology and manipulated into severing all contact. In total, authorities believe approximately a dozen individuals became involved in or directly influenced by the Lasota's online activities.
And a lot of it involved cutting your family off or turning on them, not talking to them.
Classic cult one-on-one isolation, like you just force people to only have access to information that you can control.
True,
you get into a bubble of, you know, everyone thinks the same, and then you start dressing the same, and then it all just becomes the same stuff we see time and time again.
Mm-hmm. And if your family tries to question it, you're sort of trained to, they just don't understand. Yeah. They're not as smart as us.
Mm-hmm. Lasota did not make it in the Silicon Valley startup scene. She blogged about getting fired and wrote online that making rent in the Bay Area was, quote, hell. Around 2017, she ended up living on a sailboat with early disciple Danielson before purchasing the World War II-era tugboat named Caleb in 2017. Aboard Caleb, they embarked on a coastal rationalist fleet experiment. The group was seeking off-grid communal living fueled by their shared philosophy. In a now-deleted YouTube video reviewed by the San Francisco Gate, the Lonely Island's I'm on a Boat plays over footage of the boat ending on Lasota herself, clad in a black Jedi-like robe. Oh, Oof. Andy Samberg must have loved to see that.
But T-Pain's like, no, T-Pain, like, not affiliated
at all.
Do not know them. Yeah. They decided that, like, this group was like, it's too expensive to live. And Ziz was like,
well, they're not wrong about making rent in the Bay Area. That is hell for sure.
Expensive for sure. She was right to say it was hell to try to pay rent. Don't know that I agree with her to be like, the solution is that we strap a bunch of sailboats together and we live in the harbor, and then that's will solve all of our problems. The other thing is, like, I say this with my whole chest and with my hands firmly on and gently and kindly on either side of your face, my dear Ziz, baby girl, you've got to think these ideas through. Mm. You've got to think it through. She keeps having these ideas that are like, we're going to fucking do it. Let's run for it. And then it's like, this went so bad.
Yeah.
And like,
she's got the idea, but not really the, follow through mentally to think 10 steps ahead. Like, how is this going to look in a couple months?
Ironically, you know who could? AI. If she put her plans in AI, I'm not saying do it. It's bad for the environment, certainly. But if you were to ask, hey, what if these plans could go horribly wrong? They're going to have some answers for you.
I think that they would, but you're surrounding yourself with yes people.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't have anyone to kind of check you.
She literally tweeted, like, who wants to ride a World War II tugboat from Alaska to the Bay Area with me? And I think there's this, like, Silicon Valley, like, fuck it. Move fast and break things. Let's ride a fucking tugboat from Alaska and make videos. And you don't realize that, like, there's also, there's some other, moving fast and breaking things on a boat doesn't go well always.
No, and, if you really want to isolate a bunch of people, get them out in the middle of the ocean on a boat. Yeah. You know, like things are already dangerous with groups like this on land, but then you get out just on the open sea where nobody's around.
Mm-mm.
Nobody might know if somebody just tossed somebody overboard. You know, you don't have food. Now what do? It's the weather. There's just so many factors that, like, I think you're right. It's kind of a, almost like a Kerouac type thing of like, I'm just going to ride across the country and be free in this hippie spirit, which is all well and good if you've got a good head on your shoulders.
It's a real Office Space, like, next door neighbor thing where you're like, where you think you're like, I'm the smart one because this redneck guy next to me doesn't know anything. But when you're like, we're going to get this boat and we're going to live on it, like, where are you going to eat? Where are you going to park? Nobody's going to let you park. And it's like, you think you're some genius, but there's always blind spots. And if you're not willing to engage on those blind spots, Godspeed to you.
It's going
to
fail. By 2019, the boat project was failing. Harbor officials labeled them
feral humans.
as the boat became stranded and contaminated. Lesota, meanwhile, grew increasingly estranged from mainstream rationalist circles. She left Caleb and transitioned to a more mobile, water-based existence, writing manifestos from small vessels and espousing that being
beyond land-bound jurisdiction
was essential to escape societal constraints. As their bond deepened, members severed ties with outsiders like parents, friends, and employers, immersing themselves fully in Lesota's worldview. She wrote in posts that the rationalist fleet's goals
ultimately required sociopathy.
Following sociopathy also kept them from being, quote, pwned, internet speak meaning to be dominated or defeated. Other posts mentioned
evil people ganging up to kill off good people.
Well, well, well.
Here it comes. Well, you know what we should be? It's just a lot of
sociopaths.
Yeah. You know what else is rational? Being a sociopath. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. These are some of the dumbest people I've ever studied. And we've studied a lot of cults. And I hate to say this because we're about to hear, it's about to get real fucking sad. Heads up. It's dangerous. But that's why you got to get in and make fun of these folks early before they get a hold of weapons.
Right.
Because what is happening here? What? Pwned? You know what's our religion? We have to avoid being pwned. That's like an internet gaming speak. You sound like a fucking dumbass.
Well, half their beliefs come from like video games and Star fan Wars fiction. And again, like you hate AI, yet you're using like internet speak to
computers
to form your worldviews on anything, any group that's like sociopaths welcome. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not gonna join. That just sounds dangerous and scary. And then you get into evil people ganging up to kill off good people. So which one are we though, Ziz?
She exactly, because I mean, she's like, we've gone to the dark side, but also I'm double good, but also it starts to become well, there really is no actual rationalist framework anymore. It's just sort of whatever Ziz says is what it's becoming at this point. And one of the dumber things I read was that Ziz was like, I'm not going to live on land anymore. I'm going to live mobile on boats. And then was like, none of these boats are big enough for my two computer monitors that I need to code on. And I'm like, you didn't even see how big the fucking inside of the boat was before you moved on?
No.
Again, I'm so sorry, but you're a fucking dumbass.
Also, how's the Wi-Fi on those boats?
I don't know.
How are you doing any
coding?
Can't
connect.
Yeah, can't connect to people. Or the internet.
Exactly.
It's
you got a lot of problems.
She sounds manic. It's just very reeks of a lot of mental illness that needs to be treated post haste.
Because it's ultimately not a rational thing to go like, let's jump on an old fucking tugboat and go ride it from Alaska, because then we don't have to pay any property taxes.
No.
And it's like, there are so many irrational things about that. And I want to sit you down as a lawyer and be like, for the following reasons, you're not like off grid. Like the government still has dominion over you for several reasons we could get into. But to take that one single idea, like you said, and be like, this is it, and feel like you are ordained is screaming like...
Mm-hmm.
That ain't rational to me.
No.
Sinister Hood will be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Loyalty to Lesota was absolute. She maintained control through a subtle but rigid hierarchy, labeling followers as single good, flawed but redeemable, or double good, like herself, in a schema that sowed distrust and reinforced her authority. Followers also followed a practice developed by Lesota and Danielson called unihemispheric sleep, also known as partial sleep. SFGate reported an anonymous whistleblower's claims that Lesota used this practice as a form of sleep deprivation to manipulate followers.
being sleep deprived on a fucking shitty boat in the San Francisco Bay.
I'm diving right off into the deep. I couldn't imagine. Just trying to swim back to shore. If a shark gets me, so be it. It probably puts me out of my misery.
Let the Alcatraz sharks get a hold of me. I'm fine with it, because no.
Yeah, it's, we've said this so many times before, too. When unhinged leaders, like leaders, get like this, and start fucking around with the old noodle up there. Mm-hmm. You're starting to fuck up stuff that can't get unfucked. And then it leads to self-harm and things, because your sleep deprivation is more dangerous than like driving drunk. It's polarizing for some. Like you just can't even form your own thoughts. So yeah, if you're sleep deprived and someone's telling you all this stuff, you're like, yeah, I guess so. I can't even think straight right now. So that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, just fucking stinky feral humans on a boat, with one eye open, one eye closed, like being like, your eye has to stay awake while you sleep. Like, this just all sounds like fucking horrible. And if they're like, this is the next frontier beyond, then I hope AI kills me today so I don't have to live like that.
I'm not doing this. Yeah.
No.
They're
like, we'll survive on our boat with our robes. And I'm like, Godspeed. I will die in the sand.
Can't wait until the Coast Guard comes upon you all. And what happens then?
Like, what the hell are y'all doing?
Oof. In her online writings, Lasota claims she was approached in 2019 by internal whistleblowers from the rationalist community. These individuals alleged mismanagement, sexual misconduct, and elitism at organizations like CIFAR and asked Lasota to lend her support. Interpreting this as a call to moral action, Lasota once more donned her Jedi robe and responded. On November 15, 2019, Lasota and three followers crashed a retreat for the Center for Applied Rationality at Westminster Woods near Camp Meeker in Sonoma County, California. Disguised in black Sith robes and Guy Fawkes masks, Lasota and followers Alexander Lethem, Gwyn Danielson, and Emma Borhanian descended in a flatbed truck and school bus, blockaded the exits, and tossed flyers accusing CIFAR of ethical failures. They encircled one group while chanting slogans like,
"Halt, melt, and catch fire!" I'm sorry, but do you know
how
that
do you
mean?
Melt and then catch fire?
But I don't.
Halt, catch fire, and melt is makes sense.
Y'all have got it backwards. For whatever reason, the robe is giving the you know that meme of Kermit talking to himself, and it's Kermit in the Jedi robe. I'm sorry, you've got to pick an outfit that's not from a movie. I'm sorry,
it you was can't already be taken.
Like, yes, like we all put on our Star Trek shirts and we went in and we told them what was what, and it's like you look like you're in a costume, so we can't take you seriously. Well, then they threw these.
You look
pamphlets.
Like you're cosplaying.
Yes, it's like you look like you got lost from San Diego Comic-Con, and it's like totally fine. Cosplaying is badass. The amount
great.
Of time.
Love it.
People spend on their cosplay, excellent. Don't throw pamphlets at people and scare them in the woods, because you're, especially if you're masked, they don't know what you have under those robes. Again, it is a fucking irrational, stupid idea, because this, in my opinion, I'm like, oh, if I don't know who these people are because they have masks on, I would assume that they were there to kill me. Mm-hmm. Like, why else did you follow me to the woods and begin screaming to catch fire, which it's not really a threat. Certainly, it's just some crazy rhetoric, but it still
doesn't even make sense.
Somewhat violent. Also, someone might, or like, take fire, aim and fire. Like, they might not know what you're saying.
For sure.
But apparently the pamphlet said, "Elysir offered us heaven, ill-considered solace in hopes of heaven worships hell. Two futures only? Extinction versus utopia. Why two? What prevents an evil / unjust singleton? Quote, no motive for predation post-scarcity. False. Indifference is not enough. One, evil cannot create, parentheses, but can capture. Two, good will destroy hell and punish all those who would build it. Claiming we're safe because good would destroy hell puts the cart before the horse. Dark gods whisper lies of logical order." What in the motherfucking refrigerator poetry is that?
I listened very intently and I still have no idea what I just heard. Couldn't make any sense of it. Still can't. Yeah, like I would have to read that through 100 times before I even began to start to be like, okay, maybe this is where they're going. That is word salad at its finest. And one of the classic ways to just confuse people is talking in circles, and just, it's like you that game where, like, you write a sentence and then you pass it to your friend and they write a sentence about the story and then you get it back and it's all this crazy stuff. And that's what that sounds like.
Yeah, no, it's more of that self-important large word using and, like, the exactly right. In a situation like this, if you're like, Ziz, actually, I had some questions on the pamphlet. I felt like some of the language was, they're like, are you an idiot? What's wrong? You can't understand this. So then again, you get a lot of yes people who are like, oh, yeah, it makes total sense. Yeah. And you're like, this is garbage.
Or you're publicly shamed, which is another cult tactic and othering people and, you know, people that are already looking for acceptance are then told, well, you're a fucking idiot if you don't get this. So even if you don't get it, you're like, yeah, I totally get it. I totally get it.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe you have to be way more into the rationalist mindset to, like, figure out what this chilling poem means. Like, maybe it's like, I am one of the ones that needs to go in the AI apocalypse because I'm too dumb to survive.
I did not understand it. I was like, trying to figure out the cart before the horse and good and hell. And it's, my brain just doesn't work that fast.
That's because you need to do uni hemisphere sleep with one eye closed.
I'll try it tonight. And then.
Do you close both eyes when you sleep? Idiot.
I am one of those idiots that does. It's I'm trying to break my habit.
Did you know 95% of humans actually sleep with one eye open?
That's crazy. Made it up.
I said that number.
What a paranoid way of thinking. And there is a lot of paranoia in this group, for sure.
So much, so much. So, yeah, they're just circling you. You're trying to have a rationalist, like, meet up with your buds in the forest, and all of a sudden they're like, Milton, catch fire! Yeah. You're like,
and you know, some of them are like, Ziz, is that you? They got to recognize, like,
at least one person.
They
was
all
like,
came from the same forums and shit.
Mm-hmm. You start hearing that shit, and you're like, I know who this is. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, a black robe and a Guy Fox mask couldn't be nobody else but Ziz. Pull it off, Ziz. We know it's you, girl. Bust it off. Bust your mask off because we know it's you.
The standoff escalated when a SWAT team and armored vehicle were called in, and deputies evacuated campers, including children, in a Bearcat vehicle. No weapons were found, but the protesters fought arrest, so they were charged with false imprisonment, conspiracy, trespassing, and felony child endangerment. Lasota and the others later filed a federal civil rights lawsuit. All four Zizians claimed they were abused while under arrest. Lasota described being misgendered, thrown into padded, quote, suicide cells, and denied vegan meals.
Listen, she's goofy, but I don't think she needs to be thrown into the wrong prison or misgendered. Surely. She's got to be fed what she wants to be fed and respected. I hope that none of that happened, but if it did, I hope she's compensated for it.
I would agree with those things as well.
Now, if she was mad because they wouldn't let her keep a robe in jail, you can't do that. They got to put you in the oranges. I'm sorry. Yeah. But if those are legitimate claims, for certainly. But there were kids on campus, too. It was like one park with the rationalists on the left, you know, whatever, and a kid's camp on the right. And you have these wackos blocking the exit screaming. One of the 911 calls, like, they might have a gun. We don't know. So then the SWAT team shows up with helicopters and shit. And again, this is why your idea is fucking stupid, because you have now attacked a camp where kids are present. So now you're charged with child endangerment, felony child endangerment.
And probably wouldn't have even been if you had just quietly left when they showed up and didn't resist arrest.
Yeah, they don't. The functional decision theory is one of Eliezer Yudkowsky's, like, don't, no matter what, never back down. I mean, that's what Ziz believes it means. I think what it really it's hard to explain, but there's a part of Yudkowsky's belief system that they have misinterpreted to mean literally never surrender.
Never surrender.
Y'all didn't think of that.
I wonder if that was their group song, cult song.
Sinister Hood will be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Eventually released on bail, Lasota moved between Airbnbs until hosts recognized her from news coverage and alerted authorities. She expressed deep distrust of society afterward, calling CIFAR
dangerous.
in court and lamenting that few rationalists sided with her. The protest and subsequent arrest marked Lasota's shift from respected insider to radical outsider. It also became the first major spark in a chain of violence that would eventually leave several people dead across multiple states. So what do we think?
Oof, like we said, it's going to get a little bit more horrible and violent after this. Like, this is just, apparently she became quite a name in the San Francisco legal scene. And if any attorneys are listening, please email us or send in a Freaky Friday story.
We have a friend that's an attorney in the San Francisco scene. Let's ask her.
I'll ask her personally. She does not do trial court work like this, but it apparently became kind of like this topic of conversation because all of them, not just Ziz, but in all of their appearances, anytime they would make something like a simple like status conference or whatever, where they're on Zoom together, the inmates started talking and they would always be like, I would like to address the judge. And maybe we can find some footage online, although, you know, oftentimes the Zooms aren't recorded. You're not allowed to record them. They're not, might not be clips of it. But the attorneys that were involved at the time, I think everybody was kind of like, oh, these folks again, because mm-hmm. they kind of always had some sort of manifesto to present in court. And the attorneys had no fucking clue what all these folks were capable of.
No. And those people went to law school and still can't dissect the magnetic poetry fridge manifesto that they came up with.
Just like, I got it. Now, those are the words. I put them in order.
Yeah.
Man, I love those things back in the day.
Oh, man. I gave you a...
You did.
Was it a cult one or a conspiracy theory one?
It'll this be like Lady Gaga.
I think Ziz got a hold of one and just threw it at a magnetic surface and just wrote down whatever came to be.
Stay tuned. I'll make a manifesto using that magnetic poetry you gave me and we'll post our manifesto. But yeah, I think situations like this, I think, like we said at the beginning, it's a highly intellectual person that seems very emotionally stunted and perhaps struggling with some sort of decision-making issues with their mental health. Mm. Like, I'm never going to bag on anybody for being vegan. I totally support folks who are transgender and come out. I think you absolutely need to live your truth and who you are. The problem is when those things are not, I don't think, core to what is fixing to happen. I think that is core to who they perhaps are. All these members are, because multiple of them are, you have to be vegan to be in it. Multiple are transgender. But I think that became sort of the headline when this first came out. Yeah. And to me, that's just like a fact about them that they're mm-hmm. vegan and maybe a weird kind of vegan and a fact that they happen to be transgender. And they think that there is a dual hemisphere thing going on that might have something to do with that. But the more fascinating thing to me is that like you got on Al Gore's internet and you found a fan fiction book. Mm-hmm. And then you were like, I'm about to fuck my whole life up and several other people's lives up and take even some lives because I found a fan fiction on the internet. Like that's not rational regardless.
Yeah. No, it isn't. And only a handful of people would probably think it is. And those are the people that are in Ziz's inner circle, you know,
because they got their robes on.
Yeah. It's also a cult that is so strict in these things, like you have to be vegan, which we've seen many cults where like what you are allowed to eat is common. But the more like restrictions you put on a group, especially like extreme restrictions, that alone is going to turn some people off. But the ones that doesn't and that are just as radical in their thinking as you, you get enough of those people together and it becomes really dangerous because people like that can still get guns and weapons. And, mm-hmm. Five people that all believe that have weapons is a scary group of people.
Oh, certainly. And the idea that they adhere to this bastardized version of Yudkowsky's like decision model that they have sort of transformed into something that basically means like do or die, which is not, I don't think, what he meant. But the way that they conceptualize it is that if someone is trying to get you to back down, a cop, for instance, then you backing down is teaching the cop that them intimidating you is effective. And their argument is to change society is that you have to show that cop that backing down, being threatened to back down, will not cause you to back down. Therefore, their threats are not effective. And I would like to also point out that if any of these people were not white wearing robes, they would have been at the business end of a gun, in my opinion. There's a lot of white privilege going on in this situation. 100%. I don't think I need to tell anybody listening that all these folks were white when I was like, they freaked out and screamed at the cops, and the cops took them in calmly and rationally.
Didn't bust out their window with their hand and drag them out and throw them to the ground.
It is it's pretty sickening when you can see what these little rich kids get to do, and the they're about to get a lot fucking worse. But a lot of little privileged richies, mommies and daddies paying for a lot of stuff, and then eventually mommies and daddies cutting them off, I think. But privileged brainiac white kids coming
up, that is a good way to describe them,
coming up against the business end of the justice system eventually. And I think if you move through the justice system any other way, as a person with less money or as a person of a different color, and to be fair, they are trans, and in many cases, trans people are heinously treated. And again, what they're saying about how they were treated after getting arrested at Camp Meeker, to the extent all that's true, they're entitled to compensation. Mm-hmm. Trans people should not be treated like that in jail, period. But it is interesting how far a lot of these folks are. You're about to hear a lot of people getting away with a lot of shit for a lot of episodes until you're like, oh, if any of these were white, folks weren't white, they would have
never made it to that point. And
that's just like reality.
Oh, it's 100% reality. And it's also something that is never mentioned or acknowledged by any of them, which that in and of itself is like, your claim to be so brilliant and, you know, we have to train all these people. You're missing a huge component because, you know, I don't totally disagree with the way you treat others shows them how to treat you. Mm-hmm. When it comes to cops, we can all say, like, we're going to stand up to them. We're going to, you know, well, most people that would do that, if they are not white, would not see that jail cell because they don't would lose their life before it even got to that point. Yeah. So it's another reason it's completely irrational, because they are excluding a huge component of their whole thought system. And also, they're all white. Like, they don't have one person of color in this group. Not that I've seen. Yeah, maybe
they
do. Or
if they are, they're white passing. Because all the mugshots I've seen, I think an average person would consider that they were white.
Yeah, I would agree. So you're neglecting acknowledging the privilege that you have, which is just a huge hole in your whole, quote, rationalist thinking.
Yeah, I'll dig around. For all I know, you know, maybe they did make comments on this. The problem is they say so much shit, it's a little bit hard to filter through it all and maybe have a little bit more respect. But if you are going to go hard on being like, we got to be nice to animals and also fellow humans, like, let's talk about that too. So, I mean, I get it. You know, your focus is probably, as a trans person, your focus is trans rights. That makes total sense. But the fact that now you're finding yourself navigating the criminal justice system, I don't know, maybe gives you a little bit more insight that you didn't have before. It's a new perspective. But we'll dig around in some of their writings and see. And if y'all listening have found any, please send them our way. I like to do a series episode like this, especially when there's so much online shit, because I know y'all listening have found something that, you know, we straight up just can't. Definitely. So send it our way.
I would say too, you know, the argument of we have to treat AI or show AI how we want to be treated, and then comparing that to, and also people, you are now kind of hypocritically, in my opinion, at least how I see it, saying AI and people are the same thing, which is what you were saying they shouldn't be in the beginning. You know what I mean? Like, cops aren't AI yet. Wait for RoboCop. So I agree. Like, we need cops should treat people differently. Being like a sovereign citizen type isn't the way to go about it, because we've seen that doesn't change things. There's way to change things that aren't going to land you in jail, or more likely, unless you are white, get you killed.
No, and I think the ironic thing about being like, I'm so rational, is that in some of her writing, Ziz evidences an irrational hunger for violence. And like a manipulation of rationalism, rationale, to give that permission to herself and others, including like an ethical need to take revenge, that if something is done to you, you have to take action to protect the rest of the world and you should seek revenge on that person. And I think in part two, TBD on if we got to do part three, if that is probably the reason why a lot of this violence is because the person in charge is like, you're going to get all juiced up when you do the violence. And also you need to, it's your duty to do that violence.
Well, you've already said sociopaths welcome, in fact, are needed. So if you've got a thirst for violence, then you go jump through a lot of hoops to justify why you should be able to do it and not have to pay any consequences.
Yeah, well, here comes the consequences.
Here they come. Big time. Well,
I think so.
Yeah, let us know if you have found anything that we haven't touched on. We are going to have at least one, maybe two more episodes. So we always appreciate when we can only do so much. So
yeah, especially, like I said, when there's a mass of these people just type online.
It's a slog to get through.
And I dug through the internet to try and find the I'm on a boat footage. So if anybody has a copy of that, please send it in. Because please. The San Francisco Gate link takes you to like an internet archive link of it. So you can see the still and you can see the original user. But I'm sure once this all blew up that the user that uploaded it made it private. But God, if there's somebody that has the footage of Ziz in a robe dancing to I'm on a boat, I might join this movement.
Please. I'll join I'll follow whoever posted it.
Yes,
I'm not going to join the Zizians, but I'll subscribe to your YouTube channel.
I will join the Lonely Islanders, which is a different offshoot of the Zizians. Still has to do with the ocean, but totally different.
Yeah, but way more fun and way less violent.
And T-Pain's there.
Well, if you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed. And Am I the Asshole, unpopular opinions and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
And if you want to join us for tomorrow's live Q&A, which happens on the third Thursday of the month, we had to move this week because of family obligations, but it is every month for our Ruling the Airwaves and Up tiers. And if you're not sure what that's all about or what you might get, go ahead and join right now. Head over to Patreon, get a free trial. You can join for free for a week. Check out all the Ruling the Airwaves or higher tier perks, including joining that live Q&A. And you cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. But if you do the free week, you stick around for an annual membership, you get a free month. And when you do that, what all is on the table as a Patreon perk?
Ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As. You can see what it's all about with your free trial. Quarterly live bonus content. We let you all vote on which bonus content we're going to do when we live stream. Weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to Sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show, submit topics for cases you'd like us to cover, submit your odd but true tales for Freaky Friday, and whatever bizarre or hilarious video you want us to live react to during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. Even though it's on Patreon, you just enter your email. You get access to the unedited videos that we'll be watching, the amazing chat, and a whole backlog of free stuff. You get free audio content sent to you once a month. There's a whole backlog of other free events we've done in live streams. So all you got to do is enter your email.
Super easy.
You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlist and tickets for Crime Wave at Sea 2025.
Caw-caw, caw-caw. That's the second sound. My low hum was the USO coming up from the water to get us.
Nice.
Go follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Be sure you're following us on TikTok and especially on YouTube at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube to make sure we get to 30,000 subscribers to beat Jeff and Shaleya. We're almost to 10,000, so we're on the 30,000 subscriber spite train. So join the spite train. Head over to YouTube.com/Sinisterhood Podcast and subscribe. It costs nothing to subscribe on YouTube, and hopefully it'll make Jeff and Shaleya feel bad about themselves.
I was trying to do, if you're watching on YouTube, 30,000, and instead it just looked like I was jerking off the air trying to get those zeros. So
that's
another reason to go over to the YouTube channel. You get to see, Heather's got her tiger tail now. You get to see fun stuff that we do like this.
Got my tail back, but oh man, don't get an item from eBay too close to your face. Ooh, lesson learned.
No, you need to go disinfect
all of me. If you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or you just want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo now, from happy birthday to birth announcements to congratulations on whatever it is here. We would love to create a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. Not only is it a thoughtful gift, but it's perfect for when you don't want to deal with last minute shopping and you want a perfect, custom, unique gift. Even if they've gotten a cameo from us before, every single one of them is always new and based on what you tell us. So it's a perfect one. If you're like, shit, just do a cameo. They want
to. Just do a cameo.
It'll look like you care.
It's great.
Where can they find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather, where are you?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shout-outs. What's up, fellow Heather? Heather G.
Janelle Carino.
Haley Hooklin.
Kaylee Farragut.
Lisa Lanning.
Liz.
Rebecca Morley.
Corvin Esk.
Dean.
Kate Kammerling.
Kaylee Ann.
Casey Schaefer.
Julia.
Nancy Campbell.
Kay.
Patricia Carlson.
Mackenzie Peterson.
I'm from Wisconsin, but not a murderer.
Benny W.
Trayon Jackson.
Jessica L. Cunningham.
Meg the Bimbo.
Casey.
Kareen Parker.
And Tanya.
Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We could not do this without you all. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you and all your support. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Sinister.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.